All right. Test. Test. Nothing. It says reporting here. But I'm getting that with you. Go around. I'm not even picking up just basic static.
Test. Test.
Headphones closest to me by the microphones.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's not that bad. Everything's here. Everything's there.
Are you? I hooked it up. Are those backwards?
Oh, you can't do that backwards.
Okay. And that's an end.
And that's an end.
But I'm not picking anything up.
Okay, can you switch from yours to mine? Because they may have settings different on under your name than you do with my name.
But you do it. Can we do it with the same desk?
I think so, because let's see. Test. Test.
See, if you speak, you can hear yourself really well.
I can hear you too.
Test. 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 We're about to lose this one. Test. Test.
Yeah, and you know what's weird? It's picking up our voices out here, but in the microphone itself, it's not going all the way over. But I can hear you.
That's what I'm afraid of.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
When you and I talk right now, it's going all the way over to the red.
Uh-huh.
But when you go into the microphone, it moves a little bit, but it's not going.
Good morning.
And I don't know why.
Are you using your microphone?
I'm sorry.
I'm texting.
Okay.
Test. Can you hear that one? Because I'm talking really low.
Yeah.
Okay.
Test.
Oh, yeah. $36 billion. Wow. The next highest one was 15, they had moved to New York. Wow. The rest of the states were way down here.
Ladies and gentlemen, first of all, let me welcome you to this workshop between the City of Ocala and Marion County Commission. Before we begin, I'd like to ask if you have your cell phones with you this morning, if you would please turn them off or set them on vibrate so we won't be interrupted with your cell phone calls. Once again, thank you all for being with us, and if you would, please stand and go on to the flag.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic of the United States, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
We have roll call, please.
Vice Chair Bryant, here. Commissioner Anderson.
Here.
Commissioner Klein.
Here.
Commissioner Dodd.
Here.
Commissioner Michael.
Here.
Commissioner Owens.
Here.
Commissioner John Wild.
Here.
Commissioner Pam Garrett.
Here.
Commissioner Jeff Flower.
Here.
Mayor Chen.
Here.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Members of the council and commission, I'd ask that you speak pretty loudly at this point. We are recording this, and the microphones might not be close to you, so please speak up this morning. The opening remark would be this. For a long time, we've had with our counterparts of the City of Ocala concerning issues that we have in common. One of those common issues is water and sewer utilities. So this morning, we're going to ask the utility directors to lead us in our workshop, and then there'll be time for discussion and questions following the presentation. Jeff and Cliff, we understand to hold the questions until after your presentation, or you want questions asked during the...
We can address questions if we will.
Okay. All right. Fellow members, if there's any questions during the presentation, please feel free to ask. So, Jeff, you going to lead us?
Yes, thank you. And also, when we get going, we'd like anybody that has questions, we could field any questions like that. Be great.
Thank you. What we'd like to do is, my name is Jeff Hoffman, I'm the Director of the Water Sewer Department for the City of Ocala.
Good morning, I'm the Director of Marion County. Obviously, we have two different utilities, two different parts of the county and Ocala. And Flip and I meet at different organizational meetings, and we always talk about what our issues are. The one thing that we have in common is the first slide that you see right there, is that what we want to do, and what we try to do every day, is that we're trying to work together for our citizens and our future. And we so we mean that. That's why we're here, okay? Next, Renee. What we're going to talk to you all about today is this territory. It's Marion County's territory, and it's the City of Ocala's territory. You can see in the center of that picture is the water and sewer service area for the City of Ocala. The surrounding areas to the south, I did bring some. This area right here is the Bellevue service area. Over here is the county has utilities, Marion utilities. This is on top of the world. So those are the primary areas that we're going to be talking about also will be the north side of the county, a little bit maybe of Salt Springs. And we're going to be looking at big picture stuff. And also we're also going to be looking at some immediate needs that we think we can help each other with. Anything else?
It's not very clear on here where the county's utility service areas are. You see, this is Silver Springs. There's some green and blue lines in here. That's the Silver Springs Shore Service Area. It extends all the way up the baseline to Deer Path, Pepper Tree, and all the way over to Forest High School, just beyond Forest High School, south over here. We've got the Silver Springs Regional Service Area, which is primarily isolated to the 540 or so customers up here. We have a proposal in plan to extend service lines across the north of the city to support a development at 441 through 26, which is the Ocala Meadows Farms project. That is going to bring sewer line over to Silver Springs Regional and a portion of it back to their golf course to their location. We've got Irish Acres directly across the street from that as a water service area. Up at 326 and I-75, the large travel center that was recently built up there is on our utility service area. And we're in final negotiations with the two pilot oils up there to take their wastewater package plants offline and bring them down the service line at North Forest Gang that we've installed along 44th Avenue that runs through the Ashley Farms project and over to Ocala is supported by that project. So those are primarily the service areas that we've talked about this morning. We also have the Oak Run Service Area, Spruce Creek Preserve, Marion Oaks, Summer Glen, and there's a number of them that are south of the street. And all of our primary, our capital program in the past 3 or 4 years has been focused on the south areas, south of the city, to allow opportunities such as today, so that we might work with the city better to handle those opportunities.
Thanks, Ryan.
When we first started talking, we looked at the capacities of our wastewater plants. We honestly talk about water too, but primarily we're looking at wastewater plants today. The slide in front of you that you see is how much capacity that we have at our wastewater plants and also some capacities and volumes that the county has. You can see in red, I'm not sure if you can see it all the way in the back, but this is WF number 2. It's on 24th, Southeast 24th Street. This capacity is 6.5 million gallons a day, and right now we're running 2.9 million gallons in it. Okay, there's 2.9 million gallons going through it. At WF number 1, the flow is, right now it's around 700,000 gallons. Its design capacity is 2.46. And at WF number 3, the capacity is 4 million gallons, and we're running about 2 million gallons in that.
Again, the areas that we want to talk about this morning, primarily Silver Springs Regional, we've got a 600,000 gallon a day plant, permitted to run 60,000 gallons, and we've currently got about 130,000 gallons of flow. So it's minimal flows on the end of that facility. The project that's driving us to ask the cooperative effort now was the Ocala Meadows Farms. They needed sewer service. I didn't want another packing plant up there, so we've asked them to work with us to put a force main across the area to hit this plant. At the same time, we had an environmental drive to remove effluent away from the spring head, so we wanted to put a force main back and utilize the golf course to dissipate some of that effluent. Total cost of the current project is somewhere around $5.5 million by the time you upgrade the plant and you put all the pipe in the ground. So it's a significant cost when you're looking at 540 customers and then another 140 customers at Ocala Meadows Farms.
So you can see some of the conversations we had. We were looking at the broader picture. You know, what are some of the things that we can do together? There are a lot of lines that are close to each other. In Silver Springs, for instance, we've got lines that are right across the street from each other. So, you know, instead of getting away from having redundancies, we thought, you know, what are the areas that we have commonalities in that we can help? And obviously, we have some capacity due to the economy. You know, we haven't grown as fast as we thought we were projected to grow since 2006. So we want to be able to look at, you know, some synergy. And so that's what we're looking at today. So what we're going to see today is there's some immediate need that Flip has and the county has and Silver Springs area, so we're going to look at that and some big picture things. Go ahead, Lynn. By the way, this is a new program we're using. It's called Crizzy.com. Normally, you would see a slideshow. We thought that was kind of boring, so we thought we'd step it up a notch. Actually, I had nothing to do with it. Renee, Stan, and Renee had everything to do with that. So, you know, all the kudos go to her. And I think Susan is Susan.
Susan's in the back.
Susan's in the back. They've been going back and forth, and we've been driving them crazy, but we appreciate what they've done. As you can see on this slide, what we've done is we've looked at a logical way that we could pipe the shortest distance, the least cost that we could to try to take this plant offline.
And what we would do is we would put some valves here at this lift station that the county has. We would put a force main that would run along East Silver Springs down through around. There's a lift station that the city has near the Arby's on East Silver Springs, and we would go into that force main. Our estimated cost is $325,000 to do that. We would have to install an 8-inch force main. What that would allow for the county to do would be able to, as Flip said a little bit earlier, is to get away from having to do that $5 million changeover for that plant. And also, another thing we look at environmentally wise is that it gets those potential nitrates out of the soil and away from that area. Okay.
While we're looking at this area, I might go ahead and add that there's a number of package plants in this area as well. They're not identified on this chart, but they are targets for us in the future to pull some of these package plants offline. Controlling that daily load in the process, it's going to start with Silver Springs and Silver River. It's going to drive, it's going to apply loading to certain wastewater plants, and it will drive the need for those plants to either upgrade or connect to a central utility to where they can come online.
Yeah, one of the driving factors, Commissioner, sorry.
And just for verification, as of right now, we have a spray field by our Silver Springs ditch that we spray all that wastewater on when we're done right now.
There's 60 acres of spray pond around that plant.
And so that's what we're doing with it now once we've done treating the water. Right. And the argument is that we are putting nitrates back into the soil that possibly are affecting the levels of Silver Springs. So if we take that plant offline and we go with the city's project, tell me where now will that fluid end up?
Those are good questions. The flow now will go to WF number 2, and what we do with the flow at WF number 2 after we treat it is that it goes to Muni Golf Course. It's used on the golf course. It's used at Shocker Park. It's used at some of the other baseball fields in that area, Jerby Gant. Also, we take about 2 million gallons of that flow, and it goes to Perry Sprayfield, which is down toward Bellevue. So what we would do is that this flow would go to WF number 2 and eventually be treated at WF number 2 site and use that.
And one more question. And Flip, had we continued with the project as we originally were looking at it, 540 customers, what would the new capacity have been at that facility?
With the upgrades that we had planned, we would have opened to a full 600,000 gallon capacity up. It would become a reuse facility. That would be where the greatest part of the cost was, and it would become an AWT plant, an advanced waste treatment plant.
Okay.
But it had 600,000 gallons of flow?
It would have had 600,000 gallons of capacity, and we estimated somewhere around 200,000 gallons of flow initially. There's still development ground in the area. There's 450 acres surrounding that wastewater plant that there's some commitment to. So.
But as of right now, we have around 540 customers for that plant.
That's correct.
Okay, thank you.
I might add that the effluent, even though it's going to Perry Sprayfield, there's grass growing out there, so it helps eat up some of those nutrients when it's out there. It is further away from the spring, and the nutrient load is reduced.
Right.
Compared to just putting it into basically a rapid infiltration basin.
Okay. Thank you.
Anything else?
Yes, Tom. What matrix did you use to determine the size of the floor plan?
There's an engineering standard. If you want to know exactly,
I guess what I'm wondering is would your force main be able to accept more capacity?
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's you answered. That's good.
How much more flow could 8-inch?
8-inch will handle up to a million gallons.
Okay.
That's what I'm
hearing. Ed, he's the other brainchild. The parts are engineering. Anything else?
How much capacity do we have going through there now?
130,000 gallons of flow.
Okay.
And we're permitted at 450,000 gallons.
Okay, total with city and county combined, what would be going through there then? With the one that we're talking about can handle a million a day.
It's designed at 6.5. We're only running, I think it was 2.7 through it now. So we should, it's probably at 3 million, 3.1.
Okay, so 3.2. We've got plenty of...
Absolutely.
Okay, thank you.
Yes, ma'am. Okay, Renee, next. The other part of the equation that we're talking with the county is that instead of running the line Oh, I think it's 49, you remember, 49 in Melvin and Silver Springs.
346, because they always at Exonville and then down to 49th Street in Lyman.
So the other option that we looked at is that, you know, everybody knows that, thank goodness the Magna project is getting off the ground. We were going to run our reclaimed waters off the Magna project, but at the time we started talking, there was you know, like, hurry up, we're trying to get this need done. So what we did is we engineered a little bit different. As we come down and picked up our reclaimed water that flows out of WF number one, and we go up and over West Anthony Road, and we go out 326, and we just stop at this part of the property because we just didn't know yet, you know, where they wanted to go, but we figured that's where the contract would take it that far. So what would happen there is that we would take reclaimed water out to that side, and the yellow line, if you can see the yellow line right here, we would bring the wastewater back to a lift station that we have already up near Evergreen subdivision. And the cost for that, I know you can't see in the back, the cost for that is $1.3 million. And the good thing about this is if something happened where we need to get this done pretty quickly, we have the means to get that done, so we have to wait for a really long time.
We're still in negotiations with that developer. They're going to have to expand the water plant that's at Iowa City, which is cost 441 from them, and they're also going to pay for a portion of this force main and reuse line. The majority of that cost would be covered by the developer.
Mr. Bryant.
Okay. And that is one of the things that we want to talk to you about, was that development. I guess my concern is I'm sure that they have spent a considerable amount of time and money doing their surveying and master plan for their development, how their development is going to hook into our system. So what I would want to know is that, number one, that nothing changes for them as far as what their plans are and what they've already got going, and then the timeline too. We check with them to make sure that if we change midstream, basically for them, that it's not going to delay what they're already doing.
That brings up a good point. What we're proposing initially is a wholesale agreement with the city where we'll buy capacity through ERCs, just like any other customer would, and then we'll pay a wholesale rate on the sewer. That would leave these customers still in our service area. They would still be our customers. We'll still maintain the system. We'll still be responsible for the customer support and billing. In the next phase of this would be a financial analysis that looks at what has to happen or what could happen so that the city remains whole and so that the county remains whole, because, as you know, our rate model projects growth in these service areas and revenue in the future. So we have to make sure that we're looking at the whole picture, and that financial analysis allows us to do that. There was no way that could happen within just the short window that we've had to work so far.
So you have not done a financial analysis yet to find out what would happen to the existing customers if we proceed as planned, or if we change what we're doing and go with hooking up to the city. We haven't done that yet.
Under what we're proposing, we know that the city's rate is lower than the county's rate.
Okay.
And under the wholesale arrangement, we would continue our customers are on the countywide rate, so they would continue to pay the rate that we charge all of our customers. They would have, the agreement would have a positive impact on our rate over time, because obviously the city's costs are lower. Our cost to receive service from the city would be lower than what we're receiving. So it will drive down or equalize our rates in the future. But by the time you see that, we'll be ready with the next phase, the financial analysis, to determine whether or not the service area is turned over to the city. Is it possible?
Is there any kind of a surcharge for our customers from the city that would make that rate be higher?
We have looked at those both the ways. The rate would not be higher than what your rate is.
Okay. Would it possibly be a little better?
There's definitely a possibility.
Well, it would have to be a little better, because I still have operations and maintenance of those areas.
Yeah. But to answer your question, though, is number one is that if this line is on this property, okay, So you were going to invest $5 million plus whatever the construction cost to get that pipe that far.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, we've proven so far that, you know, you're going to expend $1.6 million as opposed to $6 million, so, you know.
Well, coming up 3.6, you're basically going to tie into wherever he was going to tie into us.
That's correct.
Okay, that was one of my concerns. Okay.
So, as we look at this right here, the area of 1A and 1B, Golden Oak Island, Silver Springs, were the two areas that the county was in immediate need with. So, we kind of stopped right there and looked at it for a moment, and then we also said, what are the other areas that we could look at, looking at the big picture, what are the other areas that we could possibly work together on? So, next slide. So what we did is we looked at 5 mile circles around our wastewater plants. Okay, we just picked 5 miles, we could have picked four, we could have picked three, we could have picked six, but we just decided 5 miles. And what we did out of those areas is look inside those areas, where the population was, where the private wastewater plants and water plants were, where there was infrastructure already, and where was, you know, the most of the population. After looking at some of that stuff, on the south side of the city, Marion County has done an excellent job on their water and wastewater plants of getting themselves up to speed. They meet AWS and most of the plants there. I went and toured all of those. They look really good. And Flip and his staff has done a really good job there. We looked at the west and the east. Obviously, on the east side, we're not going to go, you know, towards the Ocklawaha River. There's not anybody out there much, so we couldn't see building infrastructure out that way. To the west, there are some areas. We kind of colored those in pink, and to the north, there's areas where we kind of colored in pink. Okay, those areas are where there's population, or where there's privates, or where there's areas we think that we can, you know, not have to build a whole lot of infrastructure to make things work. So we looked at those. Anything you want to say?
I would just add that you've got obviously the Silver Springs Regional Service, and just a good point that as you get closer to the river, you run into the forest and preserve. You've got the Adcar property that's also now Florida Forever, so you're really looking at a limited area that could develop in that service area. Although we do know that in this corridor, it's the highest number of septic tanks in the county. It's right there in that one area. So there's a potential problem there when we look at TMDLs in the future and what happens in Silver Springs.
Yeah, again, like I say, you know, we're looking at big picture stuff. We're not saying any of this thing's going to happen right away. We're just looking at options. We're looking at what we can do, and we're presenting those to you. Okay, next. So one of the other areas that Flip and I talked about was the Golden Ocala area, and frankly asked him, how could we hook to the city? And so what we looked at there is at Golden Ocala, they have a lift station. We would come down 80th Street to 40. We have some gravity flow sewer at 40, and we would just tie into that gravity flow there. And the cost, I can't see.
I have plans on it.
We've got a cost at a, you know, $500,000. They were looking at some work over there that was going to be considerably more than that. Plus, there was the possibility that these folks over here were going to connect.
The utility service provider for Golden Hills has come to us. They've got a failing wastewater plant there. They come to us and asked for what options there were to connect to the Golden Ocala facility. That facility is 200,000 gallons a day. It's got about 35,000 gallons of flow, depending on what's going on with the truck stops. As you bring the two pilot oils online, it'll push it up to about 45,000 gallons a day. So we've still got plenty of capacity there. The problem that we have is that we have commitments. And Golden Ocala has the number of ERCs that are earned through the development of that wastewater plant. Ashley Farms paid to put the force main in. They've earned a number of ERC credits here and there. So we still have liability on the books for those service areas. That's what drives the financial analysis that we've talked about.
So to answer your question, so I know you'll probably ask, is that the design of the plant that this will go to is WFM number 3, and its design is 4 million. Currently, we're running around 2 million gallons of flow through that.
I might add that we have a reuse commitment to Golden Ocala as well, that we'll probably have to run a reuse line up to them if we do make that end canal.
So again, this is one of the areas that we looked at that we thought that we could add value to our citizens. Next. One of the other areas that we want to bring up to you today is that the city of Cala is currently talking on top of the world. We hope that we're going to do a little bit more than talk. We're looking for an agreement with them to supply them reclaimed water out of our WF number 3 plant. And we would supply them reclaimed water from our spray field that's out of there. We're going to build a tank and we'll supply them reclaimed water. They're going to give us back a volume of potable drinking water that we'll have a tank on our property that we can blend with our water. And what that will help us do is on that side of town, it helps us equalize some pressures that we have over there. Also allows for future development over that area. And we're kind of happy that if we can do that, if we can get 3 to 5 million gallons, and then what that does for the city of Ocala is that it pushes out when we'll have to develop our water treatment plant number 2 site, which is the ultimate water supply site. So, you know, the money that we may invest here in the long run will help the citizens not have to bond so much money to build a plant, you know, early on. Hopefully, you know, later on we'll probably have to do something. So we wanted to bring that up to you today, what we're talking about. Next thing. One of the other areas, again, this is way out there. You know, we got a little bit of timetable on it, but if we do the line with On Top of the World, we have an area over here around the Hay Oaks. We have a water line that ends right here. You know, anybody in this business does not like to have a line that's just sticking out there because, you know, the chlorine residual will reduce. You don't have very much flow. And the worst thing about it is that if you have a water main break on there, you might have customers that are out of service. So what we like to do is loop those lines as best we can. It's more efficient and it works better for the system. So what we would do is bring a line, you know, the line that we're going to build one of these here, we'll just tap off of that and run across this way and tie that line. So it'll be a loop. So it'll help that system all around to make sure it's efficient. Next. Some of the other things that we looked at in the city, this is, I'm sure everybody's familiar with Roosevelt Village. We have a 40 acre site over here, the water treatment plant number 2 site. We've got 40 acres. That's where we have our ultimate water supply well, and we hope to develop that someday whenever the necessity arises. And what we're doing right now is we're trying to put some pieces together so we don't have to bond any money. We're building some of the lines so we can loop and get ready for that phase that's going to be coming. But, you know, we can still use these lines like right here. We can tie into the water so we can loop for the time being. We can loop those lines, and then when we build a plant, we just tie in. Next. What we wanted to do is we wanted to bring you up. This is not a rate comparison, okay? What we just want to show is what the county rates are and what the city rates are so that everybody can see and wonder what a typical bill would be for those areas.
I just, I'll comment that this chart shows our rate as worse. When you're looking at wastewater, because we max out at 6,000 gallons. So I think the city's closer to 10,000 gallons by the time we max out with the wastewater rate. So the total bill down there looks a little bit bad for us, I guess, but when you look at different scales, the city has a cheaper rate.
But the point we wanted to show here is that there's room for us to do stuff without costing our customers a whole lot of money. And so that's what we wanted to bring that forward. So it wasn't to say, you know, I'm better than him. That's not what this was about. It's just that we just wanted to be up front and save somebody the time to look and see what the rates are for each of them. Next. What Philip and I also were doing is whenever we would talk to DEP in Orlando, there was always questions about the private systems and, you know, how they were doing and are they going to be under the same requirements that we're going to be for wastewater disposal and the TMDL process, the nutrient criteria process that's going to be around. and I'm sure everybody knows in the legislature, they're talking about it now, but, you know, even if that is, if you live in a first magnitude spring, you're still going to be responsible. And I'm going to be able to get out of it in our area, which is a good thing. We got plenty of water to deal with. We just want it to be in good shape. So what we looked at were several areas, and one of the things that we agreed that the challenges to the citizens are is rate modifications. You know, utility authority, how the utilities came in not too long ago, and they raised the rate 65% for some of those folks. And what happened was, is all that money left and go to South Florida. There was some work that they had to do in a wastewater plant.
And then back in for another rate hearing.
Also, we looked at, obviously, again, the compliance with team deal process. There's going to be some weighted average that's going to be dealt with on a TMDL process. Like, we're going to be looked at. Those private companies are going to be looked at also. Also, the degradation of plants in the pump stations. Flip and I, we have standards that we work everybody by. Our contractors have to work by because, you know, our stuff's going to be in the ground a long time. So there's a lot of pressures and a lot of things like that. So some of the private systems are not up to the same standards that we have. So.
And while those are challenges to the citizens, they're also challenges to those private utility owners. And we've had discussions with a number of them over time. It's a $50,000 hit out of their wallet to go to PSC and ask for a rate adjustment. So many of them simply accept the indexing that the PSC allows every year, and subsequently they don't have the O&M funds, but they need to maintain their systems to our standard anyway.
And so we looked at those, and I know sometimes my council wants to know why we don't take over these private guys, and we just wanted to bring up that, you know, there's inherent issues as to those, and we want to just bring those up. So I think Flip's going to talk about FGUA.
Yeah, I want to talk about FGUA. It's an initiative that FGUA, Florida Governmental Utility Authority, has come to our commission and asked for the authorization to go out and assess some of these private utilities at the request of the private utilities. In particular, they're looking at Tradewinds and CFAT. It's the yellows up here. Charlie Dementis owns some of these utilities. They're looking at Marion Utilities, which are the red utilities that you see scattered around the area. And you see many of those service areas lie within the city of Ocala's utility service area. And then we're also looking at Windstream Utilities and the yellow, you know, some of the other service. Blue is Charlie Dementis' stuff. The yellow are water service areas that belong to Sunshine Utilities. So primarily those four utilities are being looked at by Florida Governmental Utility Authority to see if there's a possibility that they can come in and acquire them. During their analysis, they'll take a look at what capital needs are required to bring those systems up to our standards and then determine whether or not it's financially feasible for them to negotiate an acquisition. If they do acquire the utilities, they'll work over time to bring the rates in alignment with what the city or the county's rates are, and that's all taken into consideration as they move forward with their capital program. It may be a 15 or a 20-year process for them to get things aligned, but to bring those utilities up to the standards that the citizens deserve, such as having fire flow in their neighborhood, and it's a necessary evil. Otherwise, the systems continue to fail, and eventually they'll be dumped on the municipalities either way, and we'll end up stuck with the cost, and our current customers will end up with the cost.
When I looked at that, I think that's an option. The only thing we looked at is we want to look at what are the local options that we have. And I can see it now. Somebody's going to think this is global domination. Okay, it's nothing about that. What we're looking at here is the logical progression of where that we think that we can do some good. And what that is on these private systems with these infrastructure issues that are going to have to meet the TMDL process like we all are. The economy of scale would dictate that we look at other options. So one of the things that we could look at is work with DEP, and some of those systems are not meeting some of the standards that they should meet. We've talked about those before.
There's some 100 package plants in Marion County, and a few months ago when we looked at it, some 75% of them were in failure.
So when we're looking at nitrates, and we're looking at the aquifer, and we're looking at Silver Springs, and we're looking at our citizens, and we're looking at the way things are going to go, one of the options is simply that we take a look at taking care of it locally. In other words, we work together with DEP, figure out some of these private systems, you know, how we can best serve those private systems, and we get those offline and get them into a municipality system where, again, economy of scale will allow us at those wastewater plants meet the alternate water supply standards or whatever we got to do in the future so that we can better take care of our customers and the environment. Next. Okay, basically that is the big picture stuff that we were looking at. Obviously, Flip and I spent a lot of time talking with each other. Obviously, there's been two sides of the fence for a long time, and we just finally said one day, while he bought my lunch, that we could talk about something else. So we decided to get together and just kind of take the gloves off, sit down, and take a look at what can we really do the most good, and how can we really help everybody. So I'll open up for any questions. Joe, I would be glad to. Thanks, Chief.
That's not possible. Any questions?
Yeah. I guess I missed one. As we connected, we went ahead and we connected. We would run the line to connect with you, and that would all run through your department, Flip. I mean, running that line up there. And
we'll pay for the interconnects to their point of connection before the fire boards. Or we would make down, maybe let's go down on some of the lines, especially when we get into the city service area and extend to get their point of connection.
Okay. Any other questions?
You know, number one, I would personally like to thank Jeff and Flip. I walked in on a meeting that they were in about 6, 7, 8, 9 months ago, and it was the most progress I have ever seen happen in my time in this community. And I think that you did leave the guns and the knives at the door and the territories at the door. I think that you did come up with a solution that is a long-term solution that is truly in the best interest of not only the environment, but for the citizens of the city of Ocala and Marion County. And you both need to be applauded for your efforts and to bring us to this point today. And I am fully on board.
Thank you very much. We're not ready to hug each other yet.
No. This is the finite detail, and you go down into the black and white, but this, I just really think that this is a long overdue. And I think that it took the two of you to make this happen, and you both did it. I thank you very much.
Yeah. Well, well done, everybody. When we're talking about the county purchasing bulk rate, I'm assuming that there may be some sliding scale depending on the volume of flow that we're going to be pushing at. Would it also change based on what treatment facility we were using, or do you have a standard no matter what plant it goes to?
No, in the wholesale agreement we looked at, you know, just a certain cost per 1,000 gallons. It doesn't matter which plant it would go to.
Okay. Okay. Have we arrived at that number yet, or are you still tossing around some numbers?
We have a proposed number we would be bringing to both.
Yeah, we looked at the numbers. We're still biting our nails a little bit over, but we're looking at it. And if, you know, if we get to go ahead today to do some of this stuff, that you know, we're sit down and we tell each other, we tie each other's arms together until we get it done, but we think we can come up with something.
Okay. Any other questions, Commissioner Bond?
I just want to reiterate what Commissioner Amson said. You know that I'm a big proponent of us working together to do what's in the best interest of the citizens of Marion County, because when it all comes down to it, everybody that lives, whether you live in the city of Ocala, the city of Van Allen, Bellevue, within the county, you live in Marion County, and we should all always work together to do what is in the best interest of the citizens of this county. And I just want to applaud the two of you for working together to come up with what you've come up with today. And I hope that this is the first of many more opportunities for us to really sit down and work together and do away with the protecting of the kingdoms. And I just want to applaud you for that. Good job.
Very well said. Any other questions or questions?
Procedurally, how we move forward on this?
Well, we're going to give staff some direction, I hope, before we leave here this morning. But I want to make sure all the questions are answered. And with your after somewhat approval, I think I would like to open it up to general public, ask a couple of questions. It is going to concern some of the customers and ratepayers, city and county, so unless you have a big objection, typically a workshop wouldn't necessarily have public, but today might be a little.
Before we open it up, I just want to say thank you as well. Not only the staff do a good job, but Daniel, Professor Nolan, appreciate you and your leadership on getting us here in city council for allowing us to work together. It's definitely a change that's been long overdue, so we really appreciate you guys. Thank you.
Wonderful. All right, let's open it up to the general public.
I'm assuming that you're expecting to see nitrate levels in Silver Springs reduce. Will you be monitoring that to observe whether they in fact do reduce?
The TMPL process will do that, yes. It'll be monitored. All the people or all the different entities that contribute to that nitrate rating will be given goals to attempt to achieve in the reduction, and it'll be monitored to see what successes are there.
We currently have monitoring wells, monitoring wells around the spray field, so when it goes offline, there's a requirement that so much time afterwards that you have to monitor those wells.
Oh, yeah. Which Verando, 8490 Southwest, 138 Maris, Pinellas, Florida. Just one more question, and I'll get out of your way. If you don't see a reduction in your nitrate levels, where do you go from there?
The TMPL process will look at other contributors and assign a higher level to them. Once we've met advanced waste treatment, you really can't go any further.
During the TMDO process, what's going to happen is that there will be a group of folks that will be paid money to go out and look at possible sources. They'll look at our wastewater plants. They'll look at, you know, where the sampling wells at that, you know, might be at a golf course or might be on private systems. So they'll look at all of that stuff. They'll look at all of the nitrate sources that are coming in.
Might this not be an indication that, in fact, these septic tanks are contributing to nitrate loading in the springs?
I can't answer that. I mean, you know, it's one of those things where, we're going to do the best we can. We're going to look at everything we can and do what we physically can. You know, some of it's going to be left up to the citizens. You know, at some point in time, you know, we got to watch how we fertilize our yards. We got to, you know, watch so many things that we do in this area. So there's going to be a lot of things that we're going to do. Education is going to be the most important thing we're going to do here. You know, what can we all do? Not to change your lifestyle completely. It's just, what can you make little changes in your lifestyle that help us do what we got to do in the environment?
I can address briefly the septic tank question. We think that there's a load from septic tanks. We don't know exactly what that load is, but we do know that that load is considerably less when you've got a house that's maybe putting 4,000 or 5,000 gallons of flow through the septic tank every day compared to a wastewater plant that's putting 130,000 gallons in it. So, you know, the scale, they pointed us first.
Ryan?
Ryan, Bob, 103 Northeast 31st, Paris, Ocala, that's in city locale. I guess I got a little bit different take. I think if you could have mutually beneficial things, that's fine, but people in the city locale's obligation is to the interest of the people in the city locale. And if there's something in our interest that benefits other people in the county, that's fine, but we're not in charge of taking care of. I don't know enough about this to advocate anything. That is some such questions if I could ask Mr. Holcomb. I'm a utility customer in the city of Cal over here near Muni. How will I benefit, if any way, from the things you've described? And Mr. Brower, how does all of what has just been presented relate to annexation, if it does?
Well, Matt was the boss. I was going to say he wanted to go first. That's a good question. And obviously you would wrestle with that. But the idea is this, is that everybody in this area, whether you live in Marion County or Ocala, are going to have to deal with things that happen or things that were caused. And nitrates are one of those things. So our plants are always going to have to be up to some specification governed by somebody out of Ocala, Marion County, the state legislator, on how we're going to do nitrogen and what we're going to have to meet. So we have to be prepared for that. The unfortunate part of it is, as a ratepayer, is that we pass those things along. If we've got to develop a wastewater treatment plant better than what we got now, we pass those along. But at the same token, we try to look at avenues that we have in our hand right now to try to minimize those. And one of the things we look at is that if we can get X amount of flow from the county, let's say that, you know, 500,000 gallons over the next year, well, that comes at a cost. In other words, we'll get some money from that. So what it does is helps us in the city stabilize our rates. And so that would be one of the biggest benefactors that I would say to you that we would see, that you would see.
Before Mr. Brower gets to my other question, can I follow up on that?
Absolutely.
What is the term of the type of, I mean, you said we didn't grow as much as expected, so we've got capacity we didn't anticipate at this point in time.
Yes, sir.
What do you anticipate would be the term of these agreements you're talking about striking? Is this a permanent allocation of the capacity to these uses, or is there some endpoint to that, or how does that work?
Typically, an agreement like this is 20 years. You know, we could go less or more depending on what we do, but in that time frame, in any contract, you know, you would have a way to reevaluate. In other words, if we grew beyond our expectations that we were going to grow, then we just simply go back and we say, hey, we can't do this. There are some obligations, like our wastewater treatment plant. It's the same for anybody in the state. Once we reach about 75 to 85% of our design, we got to go back and look anyway. So there's things that we would have to do before that would happen. So the contract was, you know, not hold us to the fire. It allows for things that unforeseen to happen. Hope I answered your question.
Sure. About annexation, just got anything to do with that?
Well, there was two questions. Two questions you had, Brian. The first one was, what benefit is this to the city? And the benefit is this. By working with the county in this way, the city does not have to invest any more money in capital treatment facilities. That investment's already been made. So what this will yield the city is a new revenue source to pay for the existing capital. And that's pretty positive for the city. So your second question is annexation. How will that impact the city? When people decide to annex, they look at a lot of stuff. They look at the existing service level, they look at the valuable services, they look at the cost of the services, and they usually want to annex into an area that provides them the lifestyle, the standard of living that they choose at a price that they're willing to pay. So ultimately, could this impact annexations? Probably. It probably could in the future in some way.
Well, I think I looked at some articles a couple years ago, 2009 election, which somebody in the room can correct me if I'm wrong. I think Spanish Oaks, a couple hundred community up in northeast Oaklawn, had issues with water. And I think that, if I understand correctly, they came into the city largely in order to get some sort of water service from us. I don't know if my information is correct, but they were tied together. I think we used to have some idea that they wanted to, anything other than electric from the city, it had to become part of the city. I don't know. You're talking about some pretty far out areas, I guess, running lines pretty far out, so I don't know if that's applicable. I was just wondering how that related.
Mr. Chairman. Mr. Powell, I would just like to say one thing about annexation. As an example, when Walmart was built in Silver Springs, they needed our water and sewer, or they wanted our water and sewer, and they wanted the fire suppression capacity. They were not contiguous. There was one piece of property that just didn't really want to annex, so we entered an agreement that when they did become contiguous, that they would annex in. I don't really see this in the near future of any of those agreements. I mean, because we are buying capacity, we're going to be controlling that capacity, but we're going to have our infrastructure in place, so I don't see how this would affect Ocala Meadows or any of those areas that unless there was just some super dire need. But the primary reason that I believe that people want to annex in is because they need that water and their sewer, and they need the fire suppressant for their ISO rating. So I don't see any of it really changing the outcome of annexation.
Yes, sir.
Jason Buckley, 8816 Southwest 102nd. My question has been a county resident, I'm up Southwest. Am I going to have some input with the council, city council, if they're going to start doing something here? Because now, being a resident of the county, I don't have nothing to say in the city. So if you guys are going to start building a new plant or something, you're going to put a tax on us? How are we going to handle that?
Well, what our plan would be is through an agreement. You know, we would handle through an agreement, you know, how we would interact with each other. So I think once that, you know, the council commission would sign off on whatever that agreement would, I think we would just go to work. How the public is played in that, wherever you live in the county, I imagine there's a process for that. But, go ahead, Matt, I'm sorry.
I think they should be able to give them some assurance on it.
Well, I think your representation, sir, would be through the Board of County Commissioners as it is now. Again, this is a agreement of buying something by bulk and reselling. It is going to be our infrastructure, in most cases. And it would be us to continue. First, your first line is to go to your utility department, the Flip's office. And if you didn't reach satisfaction there and you wanted to have further discussion, then you're always welcome to come to the Board of County Commissioners. None of that's, your representation will not change, sir.
Thanks, Mr. Chairman.
Yeah, just to kind of reiterate what Mr. Anderson's saying, sir. Yeah, your recourse would be through, you know, the county commissioner. And we're just simply, like Mr. Anderson said, selling in bulk water to, you know, the county as far as annexation is concerned. If we were providing that to you directly without going through the county, that'd be another issue as far as annexation. But we're just simply selling you water. You're just turning around selling it to your customers, so there's no, wouldn't be an issue of annexation. So your recourse would be to the county commission, which is...
I think both of them have done a great job illustrating where, I mean, you'd still come to the commission. But also, it would benefit the county citizens in that if we didn't work with the city today or in the near future, then we would have to put capital improvements upwards of five over 10 years, millions more dollars into that infrastructure. So it's a win-win. Not only does the city have a bunch of extra capacity, we're only adding about 500,000 gallons of water a day, they have millions of gallons worth of capacity, so they get the benefit of having that pay, and we get the benefit of buying from them and not having to put the capital in structure. So it's a complete win for both utilities and helps to stabilize and help us to keep our weight. One of the things the county commission has really been working hard on is figuring out, well, how do we keep our rates as low as possible and offer the citizen the best use? And in this case, it's working with the city of Ocala.
Okay.
Councilman Miller?
Yes, and the comments you made, sir, about the, you know, new plant, the city council going to build a new plant, so friends, working together, and what you just saw on the slide, the flip just talked about 100 or so package plants in and throughout the county. The working together reduces that number. If the city takes off on their own path and the county takes off on their own path, the county, just what they're talking about, they got a $5 million project up there to enhance a plant in Silver Springs, which by partnering with the city, that can, through the course of time, actually can get dismantled, come offline, and you know, there's just the synergy that's created in the partnership. So when there's two different businesses, it's just like, you know, it's like Walgreens and CVS. You see one go up, somebody else goes up. You know, every corner now gets dominated. And so you've got a CVS, a Walgreens, a McDonald's, and a Mercantile. It's just, wait, we're going to dominate this corner, you know. And it's great, and it's wonderful, and free enterprise. But on this type of thing, when we start looking at water and sewer and the synergies that get created, you keep those things down to where we're not having the package plant every block, and you've got stuff going all over. All that's being created. So, yeah, and we're all every Tuesday, first and third Tuesday nights, we'd love to have you on City Hall. We're interesting bunch, come on down.
I just want to know if the community is going to have to be able to put in an input to some of the decisions.
Of course you are.
Mr. Forrest, I live at 3827 North East 17th Street, Sturball, only in Ocala. Streets are false, I love it. And that is in the Village Homeowners Association. And I'm just down the street from the big new Silver Springs Drainage thing that was put in a few years ago, so I've been watching that. And thank you for landscaping it, because I made a lot of calls about that. It looks a lot better. And I think one of the things that you thought of in your statement, sir, which I disagree with, is we are all connected. We all get our water from the same place, and that's the Florida aquifer. And I'm so heartened to hear that the underlying principles of all of this is to protect that aquifer. I'm on the steering committee of the Silver Springs Alliance, where a newly formed group. I personally endorse what you're trying to do. I think it's a wonderful idea. I have a question about the nitrates. I know what they do in the river. I can see what they do in the river. What do they do in the drinking water? How do nitrates in the drinking water harm human beings? And do they harm human beings?
Yeah, first I'd like to say that, we really do care about Mason and Marion County because we want them all to come into the city of Ocala and spend money, so yeah. But the nitrates, that's a good question. The current drinking water standard is 10 milligrams per liter for drinking water. We have to monitor nitrates, but we have to monitor everything else in the world. If you look on the internet, you probably hear all kinds of horror stories. Most of those are based on partial truths. There are 147 things that we look at every year in our chemical analysis. And Will, over there, he's our compliance monitoring guy. If you slid up, there's probably a bunch of more that, you know, that we're going to have to do later on. When we do samples like that, we check for nitrates, we check for everything else in the water, and the biggest thing, the targets are, is when we start looking at the nitrates in our drinking water. We're pretty low in our drinking water, you know, less than one, or maybe 1.5 in our drinking water. The only time I would get concerned is if we got up to around 10, and that would only be if for small kids. You know, it's just like, let me say that, and if you watch when it goes in the newspaper, eat a hot dog. There's as much nitrates in there as you're going to drink. So, you know, let's make sure that we put the right science out there. So, we are concerned with it. We do look at it, but we look at that just like we look at everything else. And there's controls that we can do. If nitrates became a trouble, which they are in some communities, we would have to filter those out. We would have to treat those out, and we can do those. Just like chlorinations. If you have a private system and you have your own private system, I don't know, do you chlorinate? You know what I mean? There's a bunch of things like that. Thanks for your question.
Yeah. Matt?
My name is Matt Faker. I live at 4100 Southeast 39th Circle, Ocala, 3480. While I'm a county resident and have been lifelong, I'm also the construction manager for Frank Sean on the Ocala Meadows property, which is one of the properties and projects that is directly influenced by some of the problems today. While it makes sense, and I understand the logistics of it and stuff like that, probably most immediate need is timing. What do you think is a realistic time frame for these decisions to get made? Because we're probably one of the few projects that are out there that are actually putting pipe in the ground, that are building roads. So the decision that you guys, number one, what are you actually going to decide on today? Number two, how long is it going to take to put it in place, what you're proposing, so we have an understanding, because we have a construction schedule that is not presumed, it's actually unfolding as we speak, and so whatever is decided on today, just to be clear and direct, if it impacts what we're doing or we're scheduling, and then also the effluent line, the effluent water that's coming from wherever it's coming from, is it of the same quality or same standard that we would be getting from the Silver Springs plant? If so, how much? Are we looking at the same number? Are we looking at more? Are we looking at less? If you can kind of, we didn't find out about this really until a couple of weeks ago, so it kind of caught us off guard a little bit. And then the last thing I would like to ask is whatever you do decide, whatever direction that the county, the city decide to go in, as developers and as a project that's currently under construction, we would ask to be included in as many of those discussions as we possibly can so that we can plan what we're doing in the field. And with the owner as well.
Yeah, that's a great question. And what we'd like to do is, if you know, depends what happened today, we just sit down with you. We can give you all of the numbers that we have on our effluent. We can give you how much it costs and everything like that. And I think a lot of your problems can go away. Construction, you know, we have in the city, I've got 15 construction projects going on right now in the city. But what I have is I have an annual contract every year that the council lets me have, and if we deem this as an emergency, you know, I could throw them on that, we get this thing done. I mean, that's, you know, it's just the things that you all have to do is the same things that we have to do, and I said you're going to have a DEP permit, allow this to go forward in those lines, and, you know, it's just those simple things.
It's a part of the developer agreements that we're working on with the county that are tied into some of our FDP permits for sewer that balance the residential. And so as of today, what it sounds like, if that's going to push it back, you know, we're ready to start putting stuff in the ground, and it will push it back or not.
Matt, I don't think you're going to push back at all. Your timeline's getting shorter. If this is approved, your timeline got shorter.
Okay. It sounds like based on the official analysis that you provided, the decision's already made, not to pursue the Silver Spring thing, which is fine. We've spent $70,000 surveying engineering.
I understand that, and we'll work with that in your developer agreement. That's still being considered.
Okay.
But until the commission and the council give this authorization to proceed.
See, you don't have to be not opposite of it.
It does that for some reason.
Just remember, what we presented today were options. You know, we haven't got any specific marching orders to move forward. If we get those, we definitely want to sit down with you all and talk. And then we want to look at timelines. We want to, you know, see if we can meet your timeline, which, you know, this is not the first rodeo that I've done, so we should be able to be okay.
Commissioner Bryan?
I, you know, just to address Matt, I mean, I am going to step out here, and I'm going to go ahead and say that I'm sure that my fellow board of commissioners, we want to make sure that your project can move forward as it was always planned, and that this doesn't change anything for your project. As I forgot to say, and I guess that my fellow commissioners would probably agree.
Is there anyone else in the public that has a question?
Charlie. David, yes. Dillon, Dillon Associates Engineering, 1720 Southeast 16th Avenue, California. The one thing that I would add that we met with Blake Gilroy, the new director of Southwest Florida Water Management District. The one thing that he mentioned that this is a step in the right direction for is he's going to be looking at municipalities and government entities that have created water alliances to save water, put in these types of programs where they're working together on their infrastructure. And those municipalities are going to get pushed to the top of the list for funding. So this is a step in the right direction to see the state start putting money into our systems and to save all the citizens money on capital improvements, because the state will start doing some of that funding here. So it is a step in the right direction for that matter. But to echo what Matt said, our schedule is critical, and I mean, right now we are being held up. So, I mean, we're waiting right now, so we really do need you guys to help us get our permits in place.
Thank you, David. Any other questions from council or commission?
I was going to say, there's enough out of work pipe layers. We can get some of that.
That's construction.
The goal, what he's talking about, and Commissioner McLean can probably speak to it, but he's doing a lot longer. I mean, again, I get the big picture and everything we're trying to do here, and just what he's talking about. The state and even the federal government are going to start answering a lot of our stuff for us. So it's not this, Jeff's talking about this, you know, coming in and buying helicopters, the government taking over everything. We're just simply, as a county, coming together on all sides and getting together, because the state will answer some of these questions for us if we don't. And we've got to get on board. We've got to be doing that to protect our resource. Again, you know, we spent 8 minutes from here, as we all know, since that Silver Springs. And a lot of people around the state eye that. We're going to continue to eye that. It's coming together for a common goal here. Development's not going to stop. We're going to be able to keep moving and all of that thing. But this is for the community as a whole. Because the state's going to come in and they're going to start answering some of these questions for us. And I know you've been 10 years or so working with not only local water, but dealing with it in Tallahassee. So we've got to, you know, kind of circle the wagon to the state as a whole for the county to keep this moving.
I mean, obviously, I agree, Daniel. I mean, I think that's,
you know, I keep the black helicopters from coming into your community. You gotta, as a community, you gotta take care of your own, problems. And I think that's how you board off some of that, is by trying to, you know, work together and figure out how to solve your own problems. The county, with the TNBL was mentioned on several occasions, we actually, as a county government, have entered into an agreement to do the TNBL process in the Silver Springs Basin. We did that because we thought that it would be better for local government to manage that versus having the state or federal government tell us how to manage that. So we've done that, and it'll be a great partner to be, you know, that way we'll be able to have a direct partnership with you all and with your staff, and as we work our way through that process. But it is. And I know that we've already reduced nitrate loading from our Silver Springs plant. We did that several years ago because I came to the conclusion that I was putting that, getting all the septic tank stuff is taking all the blame for this, and I've got this big wastewater treatment plant sitting right here, you know, at the back door of Silver Springs. So we at that time took some steps to make sure that our monitoring wells were, I think we changed it 1.5 or 2 points out of monitoring wells, but those are just things that we've taken into account. But Daniel, you're absolutely right. If we don't take care of it, and we, you know, again, the whole nutrient numeric criteria thing, that's being driven from the federal government. Thankfully, the state government's been able to hold off, and it looks like, you know, we'll be able to do that. But as local governments, we need to set our own standards, you know, to help set the pace for those kinds of things.
Commissioner Bryant?
Well, along those lines, I mean, we continue to advocate for local control. Well, I think this is a great step in showing that we're advocating for local control, and we're willing to do what it takes to prove that we're capable of handling that.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to make a recommendation from the Board of County Commissioners that we have staff continue to expedite the final paperwork in conjunction with the city attorney and our county attorney and the administrators to bring back a proposal in a relatively short time period. I don't know whether that's 30 days, 60 days, but make sure that we're very cognizant of what's happening to the north of us and that development of the Astronics. But I think that as soon as we can, you know, get some final details worked out, see what those numbers look like, and we get it into a contractual agreement, the better for everyone.
Okay. I think that's consensus on all the members agree. Can you give us a timeline of how quickly you can get us an agreement?
Can we talk to our the people that have a big stake in it right now? I mean, what kind of a timeline? And
they have a direct connect. They have a very good direct connect.
Okay.
How much time do you need to put together some?
We'll have to hear with the attorneys, obviously. But
never mind. No.
The second meeting in February, which will be with Per Tuesday.
Second.
If you can come along and have at least a draft or something, maybe something we can consider. Councilman,
I would say we both have mechanisms for special call meetings too. I mean, if this thing gets done instead of that, well, you know, the next board meeting and the next council meeting is whatever Tuesday. I mean, the mayor can always call special. I know y'all have mechanisms to call special meeting, duly advertised. This is what it is, and get moving.
I think they got the numbers. I think it's just sitting through it in black and white.
Yeah, just put it in legalese.
We have existing postal agreements.
Right. February 21 or sooner.
February 21.
All right. Well, I'm going to give the last word to, well, let's start with our mayor. Do you have any last words to offer?
See, we're doing this.
Good work. And now we'll give the last word to our president of the city council.
Well, just thank the county commissioners for having us here in your facility, and we appreciate working together on this and many, many more things as we go forward.
Wonderful. Very good. All right, well, that's it. I think staff has the direction to move forward, so we're looking forward to seeing the results. And thank you all for being with us. It's a good day.